Welcome back. Every Tuesday, round about this time, we speak to our Eyewitness News Africa correspondent. Jean-Jacques Cornish joins us now from our nation's capital in Pretoria in Tswane. Good morning to you, Jean-Jacques. I hope you are well.
Habari asubuhi.
Habari gani mzi, how are you?
Excellent, excellent, thanks.
I am a bit lost for words, but I've lost my notes of what we're supposed to talk about today, but I have it here in front of me. We're going to be starting off by talking about West Africa, largely concentrating on East Africa in our last hour of the show. But for now, we're concentrating on West Africa, where leaders have a further summit to deal with coups in Guinea, in Mali, and Burkina Faso.
Yes, indeed. And of course, the whole breakdown of security in the Sahel. You know, they had the five countries, including those three plus Mauritania and Niger, were the G5, you know, the group of five in the Sahel. Well, now that France has pulled out, France stepped in, of course, after that coup in the separatist coup in Mali in 2012. And then they had these operations, and then now then with after following the coup last year in Mali, where the French objected very strongly, the Assimi Goïta, the military leader, said to the French, "Get out of here, we don't want you anymore." And he has now taken on taken up with Russian mercenaries, and everybody's very concerned about that. Well, the ECOWAS, the 15 ECOWAS members, or 12, met in Accra, and they wanted to try to bring those three countries back to civilian rule. They had no luck with that. And to talk about the breakdown of security in the Sahel is very, very, very worrying. And certainly, you know, 2.5 million people displaced. The fact that the three countries are all saying, no, we're going to need longer to get back to civilian rule. And they're having promised initially that they would do it quite quickly. So it's a great mess. And you know, it seems that ECOWAS, the Economic Community of West African States, has spent so much of its time. It's probably as active as SADC in terms of regional groupings in Africa. But so much of its time taken up with trying to effect peace in virtually every member country. This is terribly sad that they're having to continue with this. And until they can do that and restore stability to the Sahel, that part, very important part of the continent, you know, stretching virtually from ocean to ocean, is going to be in a state of flux.
Jean-Jacques, there is fear that Tunisia is sinking deep and deeper into authoritarianism. Since September, President Kais Saied has ruled by decree. He's dissolved a council that safeguards the independence of the judiciary. He's placed his own appointees on an electoral commission in that country, essentially, that could guarantee his re-election. But really, really big concerns that Tunisia is sinking deeper and deeper into authoritarianism.
You know, and Tunisia is a country that, of course, had this authoritarian police state for years and years and years under Ben Ali. 2012 led the Arab Spring Revolution. Plural, but now then they had a series of governments, which one of them was a Nobel Peace Prize winner. So, you know, they've done well. But then came the elections, and I was an observer there with Kais Saied coming in, a very, very sort of serial kind of academic leader. He doesn't speak much English, so I didn't get a proper sense of him at all. I'd love to have sat down with him and I could speak more authoritatively about him. But he's making this decision to start a new constitution. He's suspended parliament. Now, the head of the country's constitutional committee, and that was a significant body that led the country through several elections, and it's a genuinely democratic body. They are saying they've blasted Saeed's draft of the new constitution, saying that he's leading towards a, quote, disgraceful dictatorial regime, and that it's grabbing absolute powers, saying he's undoing all the gains of the 2011 revolution. So yet again, you know, this tiny little country sandwiched between Libya and Algeria, which has been an example to the rest of Africa, is now sliding into this, well, as they call it, dictatorial regime. And that is very, very sad. And it does rely completely, or completely, but to a very, very large extent on tourism from Southern Europe, you know, sort of budget level tourism. And people, as you know, Lester, they don't, people who want adventure holidays pay for adventure holidays. They don't go to countries where adventure will befall them unannounced. So if it affects tourism to Tunisia, it's going to affect the bottom line even worse. And one of the problems in Tunisia is, of course, the economy is in a pretty desperate state.
And finally, Jean-Jacques, Gambia is banning timber exports, and this is a reaction to stop illegal logging. But if you're banning exports altogether, I wonder what this would affect the revenues for that country.
Well, you know, the African rosewood, which has replaced the Asian rosewood, which is what the Chinese had been buying, and this is mostly China buying this stuff, has been declared almost extinct in Gambia. And much of the rosewood flowing out of that country comes from Casamance, which, of course, is that southern area of Senegal. When you look at Senegal in the West, quite a big country in West Africa, the Gambia goes right through the middle of, in fact, along the Gambian River, right through the middle of it. So the southern area, which is has some separatist tens in it as well, a lot of the timber is coming from there. But the Chinese, if they keep buying it, will wipe it all out. They use it for wood carvings. It's a special kind of wood. And they use it for wood carvings and decorative purposes. And it's very, very rare now. So it's something that we've got to be careful about, protecting what little remains. And I think that the steps taken, you know, they've declared their port in Gambia. They've stopped loading of any timber in that port. And this is President Adama Barrow, who came in power in 2017 and sort of hanging around, having promised that he would go. So it's a situation where, again, not a very hopeful situation. But I must say to the Gambian regime, more power to them for trying to protect the rosewood.
Yeah, look, something similar happened with palm oil exports in I think Indonesia. We also, earlier this year, they banned palm oil exports, but because of the impact on the global palm oil price and also impacts on the illegal extraction of palm oil, they did a very quick U-turn on that. And look, if it's benefiting Gambian society and it's benefiting the Gambian people, then, as you say, all power to them. Jean-Jacques Cornish, Eyewitness News Africa correspondent, back with us next week here on The Morning Review.